Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM, and WFHR, 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports, from Vesper to Plover.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Cammy McCormick. The lights are coming back on in parts of North Carolina after power substations were hit by gunfire over the weekend. But officials nationwide are taking a closer look at their security. Here's correspondent Steve Futterman.
This week it's been North Carolina, but utilities all over the nation are being told they could be next. Senator Mark Warner says it's a nationwide concern.
The fact that someone with criminal intent could take a couple of pot shots and literally throw a community into darkness for days. We need to make sure our electric grid is a lot more resilient.
Security experts say power stations are an attractive and easy target. In Oregon, officials confirm vandals damaged a power substation there during the Thanksgiving weekend. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
The Biden administration is changing its direction on some immigration policies at the southern border, as Matt Piper reports.
It's a reversal for the Biden administration, as it says it will ask a federal court to keep pandemic-era restrictions in place for migrants at the southern border. It's known as Title 42, issued under former President Trump, and allows the U.S. to expel migrants caught at the border without the chance to pursue asylum in order to prevent the spreading of COVID-19. The Biden administration had initially sought to end the restrictions this spring.
Texas is now the third state to implement a ban on TikTok on state devices. Reporter Chris Fox has that.
Saying the safety and security of Texas is foremost, Governor Abbott sent letters to the Lieutenant Governor and State House Speaker, spelling out that TikTok employs Chinese Communist Party members, harvests data, and shares it with the Chinese government. He's calling for the immediate ban on downloading or using TikTok on any government-issued devices capable of internet connectivity. Abbott also targeted the video-sharing social media app in January.
TikTok should be ashamed, condemned, and have a legal action brought against it for promoting human trafficking in Texas.
Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
So is President Biden running for re-election? Ed O'Keefe reports he toasted to the possibility at a recent state dinner with French President Macron.
The lighthearted exchange came as the First Lady, who was seated at the head table alongside the French President and her husband, described to dinner guests how her exercise routine also helps her clear her head, especially when she's on the campaign trail. That led Macron to ask if she's ready for a re-election campaign. And the First Lady said she is, prompting the French leader to turn to Mr. Biden and suggest a congratulatory toast. Macron then led the head table in a toast to Mr. Biden's 2024 campaign by raising a glass of wine. The president, who doesn't drink alcohol, toasted with a glass of Coca-Cola.
The Dow finished up slightly higher. This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE. 866-88-BIBLE.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The City of Wausau formed an agreement with developers known as River Life Condos LLC in 2020 when they promised to build a multi-unit condo complex and an amphitheater on a plot of land in the city. Now the city is looking to end the housing agreement after multiple changes and delays to the plan have dimmed excitement for the project. A third amendment to the project would have given the developers until November 1st to purchase the land necessary. They did not meet that requirement, so the city's Economic Development Committee is pushing to end the agreement. Another Republican has announced their race for the 8th Senate District seat due to the retirement of Senator Alberta Darling. Thanesville Village President Van Mobley is the fourth Republican jumping into the race. He joins Representatives Janelle Brantgen and Dan Knodel, as well as Concordia student Robert Albrightson. No Democratic candidates have stepped forward yet. The primary will be held on February 21st. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 14 tonight under partly cloudy skies, northeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 34. Tomorrow, overcast skies. Overcast skies again. Tomorrow night, chance of snow. Lows dip down to about 24. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 26.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local, national, and Native news and events. And as you know, Ogama, you know this, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
I didn't know if you wanted me to finish it. Just as a heads up, everybody, this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And this is also brought to you in partnership with the Little Moments Count campaign. You can find out how to support your little ones in the first 1,000 days of life at littlemomentscount.org.
Yeah, it's exciting again, Ogama. Hey, before we get to the news you don't hear anywhere else with Ogama, I just want to give a quick shout out. It's Pearl Harbor Day, and me being an old person, I know a lot of people in my childhood that were in World War II, which was mostly every man and woman and child back in 1941. But this was December 7th, 1941, the attack on Pearl Harbor. And Ogama, I also want to just throw out a big peeny geegee because I have Georgia on my mind after yesterday's election. So I'm really grateful. And we can have the Democrats in, and now we have to push the Democrats more progressive now that they have 51 votes in the Senate. But let's get with Ogama with the news that you don't hear anywhere else. Here's Ogama.
Hey, bonjour, anime relatives. This is Ogama Ganuakwe. I am a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I have a little bit of news here for you today. I wanted to follow up first on some news that we had. We had on Elion Farhat, who is the executive director of Take Action Minnesota on, was it last Friday, Robert, that we had her join us?
Oh, the days melt together, Ogama.
All the days melt together. But we had her on recently in just the last few shows, and she talked about this wonderful action that Take Action Minnesota, Amazon workers and the Atwood Center and community members held. It was called Workers Rising, and it was at the Amazon Fulfillment Center in Shakopee. And that is, it is scheduled at the Amazon Fulfillment Center in Shakopee. It's scheduled for tomorrow, December 8th. And as of right now, over 100 community members and Amazon workers are committing to stage a public demonstration and program demanding immediate action from Amazon to raise pay to fair wages for worker safety, corporate accountability, and climate justice with a public program and demonstration. So this is Thursday, December 8th from 4 to 4:20 p.m. Starting at the Shakopee Ballroom, and there will be a march to the Amazon facility from there. And about 4:20 to 5:15, there'll be a program and rally. It's MSP 1 is the Amazon Fulfillment Center. It's at 2601 4th Avenue East in Shakopee. So any community members, grassroots organizations, Amazon workers are welcome to come and make their voices heard for these super mega companies and peoples who have had record profits during the COVID-19 pandemic and beyond, and are still claiming that they cannot afford to pay their workers a living wage. Also, as a reminder, Amazon does own Whole Foods and Amazon Fresh grocery stores, which have now opened up in Twin Cities suburbs. They also own, your doorbell app, the Ring app, Kindle, and several other things. So it's really hard to escape Amazon. But with it being so pervasive in our communities, we should be able to have some accountability from these corporations. Well, right, Robert?
Well, Ogama, not only accountability, but making $70 billion the year of COVID and taking advantage of everyone, again, let's blow this company up.
Exactly. So another thing that is local here to the Twin Cities that I wanted to talk about is going to take place the 8th through the 10th at Hocho Kata Tea, which is the Mittawakaton Sioux Communities Community Center. It is their annual Waniyetu Art Market. It's a three-day event that's open to the public and features vendors offering Native American art, crafts, jewelry, beadwork, and other handcrafted items. It is supposed to be amazing. I have only heard tale of this wonderful art market, but it just is the 3 days from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily, December 8th through the 10th. Another great place that you could get some Native items is the Native Roots Trading Post, which is located in the Dayton's Building in downtown Minneapolis as well. And then if you're not local to the Twin Cities area, but you're still looking to buy direct from Native artists for gifts for people for the holiday, you can go over to IndianCountryToday.com, and there is an article. It's called The Virtual Holiday Market. And Polly Danette Claw took the time to curate this really wonderful list of apparel, marketplaces, health and wellness, films, book, and media, one of which is also local to the Twin Cities, the Birchbark Books, Good Minds and Native Books as well, and some really other wonderful people and marketplaces, and just 8th Generation is one that people know. Beyond Buckskin is pretty cool. Bee Yellowtail, I'm a big fan of. Manitoba Mucklucks has moccasins, boots, and gloves. And all of these have been curated by a Native person for Native people who have arts. And there's a couple of her top three, I think, listed in the article too. So special thanks to Polly Danette Claw for making my shopping for the holiday season easy, as well as Native Roots Radio for doing that with the Native Roots Radio Trading Post, or Native Roots Trading Post, excuse me, in downtown Minneapolis.
Yeah, Ogama, we always remind our allies out there, if they're trying to buy Native stuff, make sure they ask the vendor or the person who made this. And if they can't say who made it, it's probably made in China. So support Native artists.
Exactly. Support Native artists. It's not appropriation if you go and you buy direct from a Native artist. It's appropriation when you buy from somebody who's non-Native. And by the way, that is illegal too under some federal laws in the United States right now. So keep that in mind. And then, you know, Robert, we're kind of far enough away from the election. I know you just brought up Georgia right at the beginning of the show, but the rap on candidates is that there were 85 Indigenous candidates that won election on November 8th and took offices. And then that was in 22 states. So that's added Indigenous representation to Congress, state houses, courtrooms, local governments, and lots of areas all across the country. The record number of Indigenous women and judges are now on the bench in Arizona, and there's more than 65 Indigenous politicians in the state legislature across the country, and that is according to the election analysis that's just come out recently from ICT. So this is really exciting news. I'm really glad that we've got so much representation that is happening, not just for Indian country, but for all humans. Native people are more than capable of legislating and representing people who are non-native as much as they are as representing native people. And I'm really happy to hear that our allies kicked in and helped to vote for our indigenous elected officials. And I hope they will continue to do so in the future. Robert, are you going to do any of your Christmas shopping this weekend?
No.
Well, it is December 7th, and I want to remind everybody that the, that the Native American Community Development Institute runs the, Robert, what's the name of their art thing? It's escaping me.
All My Relations Art.
All My Relations Gallery. Thank you so much. Gallery. They run the All My Relations Art Gallery, and you only have until December 15th to see She Who Lives on the Road to War by Rosie Sema's Dance. There are limited in-person performances for this. Make sure you go to allmyrelationsarts.com for tickets to that.
Hey, Ogama, what do we got up next here?
Up next, we are going to hear from Little Moments Count. We're going to have Barb Favor, Shakira Bradshaw, Sandy Simar, and Jenny Moses on. And they're going to be talking about the Great Start for All Minnesota Children Task Force. And again, this is brought to you in partnership with Little Moments Count. We're really excited to be focused or to be collaborating with this statewide collective on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life.
Perfect. Thank you so, so much, Ogama. Great news as always. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MinSure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MinSure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MinSure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNSure.org. MNSure.org.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Yes, this is Robert Pilot, and this episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments and the Little Moments Count. You know, it's good to see you again, Barb, and it looks like you got a whole gaggle of friends here that I want to talk about some good stuff here that you guys are doing. And Barb, I want to introduce you, and then I want you to introduce our guests and take it from there, if you don't mind. But Barb Fabre is the CEO of Indigenous Visioning and All Nations Rise. She is an enrolled member of the White Earth Ojibwe Nation in Northwest Minnesota and is where she resides. They have internet up there, huh? Ho-wah. Just kidding. She's a proud mother of three grown children and a grandmother to five beautiful grandchildren. Barb has been a lifelong child advocate and has had the honor of working with many amazing people over the years that has guided her to be the person she is today. And I have to say, we're so excited to have you, Barb, on again. And take it away. Let's see. Unmute. There you go. And then let's get a little test there. How you doing, Barb? Oh, no. Now I can't hear you. Darn. And I have to maybe come back and leave. Might be the recipe to do that. Leave and come back. Hey, so why don't I go down the list here? And Sandy, do you mind taking over for Barb for a second there, and maybe introducing yourself?
Certainly. So I'm an educator with Head Start and Early Head Start at Families First in Minnesota and Rochester. And I have over 30 years of experience in early care and education field, including focusing on the priorities of health and welfare, children with disabilities, and services for children experiencing homelessness.
Cool. And Jenny, do you mind introducing yourself too?
No problem. Thanks so much for having us. I'm a program director with the Minnesota Children's Cabinet. My areas of work focus on child care and early education, educational opportunity, and then housing stability for children, youth, and families. I am previously an early childhood special educator myself and worked at the Minnesota Department of Education before working with the Children's Cabinet.
Awesome. And Ms. Bradshaw, do you mind introducing yourself? I see you got a nice headset there. You're ready to rock and roll. Oh,
I am. I've got kiddos, so they're in the background. The headset is the safest way to not hear them. I am Shakira Bradshaw. I've got two little kids in the early childhood education system. I am one of the co-chairs on the task force as well, so I kind of know firsthand from the parent perspective what's going on with child care and the issues there.
Hey, can you answer me a quick question of how and why was this task force created? Go ahead.
Oh, sure. The task force was created in a bill from the state legislature that the governor signed into law in 2021. And the legislative language that formed the group asked that we address issues facing the early care and education system in Minnesota. And that system is made up of preschool, Head Start, child care centers, family child care, and other early learning settings around the state. So like in-home daycares as well. Our task force needs to submit a draft report to the governor and relevant legislators by December 15th of this year. And then the final materials are due to them by February of next year. So we're getting close.
Hey, Barb, we have Barb back. Are you there? Give me a test. 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
You are there. You're golden. All right. I've introduced everyone. Come on back, Barb. Good to see you again.
Yeah, bonjour. I'm glad to be back. I was happy to be here and share information what's happening out in Indian Country.
Exactly. So I just asked a question of how and why was the task force created, and I don't know if you want to take that or hand that over to one of our guests.
Actually, I'm going to let Jenny Moses answer that one.
Good one. Thanks.
So I think Shakira just answered about how and why the task force was created. Do you want me to tell a little bit about the issues we're working to address?
That'd be cool. Let's do that.
Awesome. So we're focused on finding solutions for problems facing parents, caregivers, families, and early educators around the state. These problems fall into a couple big buckets, one being affordability, which I think Shakira mentioned earlier, just being the mom of two little ones herself. So we want to figure out how we can make sure that families can afford childcare. As many of your listeners know, prices are high across the state and families are really struggling. This means that some parents aren't able to work or go to school themselves, and that really hurts our communities. And another bucket of issues that we're working on is this accessibility. So how can we make sure that There are settings for families to attend and send their children to. We're looking at things like cultural competency, transportation, community voice, all under that umbrella of access. And then a third piece is the workforce compensation. So we know that the people working with our littlest learners should earn at least a living wage, and that's not the case for many of our early educators. So we're trying to figure out some solutions there and making sure that we have effective care and education for kids that sets them up for future success. So we want to make this an attractive field for qualified workers.
Wow. And I agree. I'm a former high school teacher and boots on the ground, Jenny. We're our paraprofessionals and EAs, and they do not get anywhere near a cost of living wage. I see you shaking your head, agreeing with me, but we are radio, so we do need to speak.
Well, I didn't know the question in there, but definitely feeling yes. We look at all staff that are working with children. So that means, you know, those who are assistants, those who are licensed educators, potentially bus drivers, kitchen staff. Everyone impacts the learning and care of our children.
Absolutely. I was just joking with you. I was hoping you were agreeing with what I had to say, because I'm going to get off my soapbox now and hand it over to Barb again.
Yes, and I know everybody listening probably already knows the struggles that the early childhood field is having around pay, around accessibility, affordability. And it's even 10 times more in Indian country. So this task force, I'm really honored to be on the task force. If you go to the website, you'll be able to see all the members, and there is tribal representation on there. And we, while we don't represent all tribes, whenever I'm on a committee, I never say that I'm representing all tribes. I am just a tribal voice at the table, and bringing information back to the tribes. And so this task force is very important. And they're, you know, just like any other committee on the state, you know, we really need to help and get involved and have tribal representation at the table. So I think what I'm going to do now is maybe ask Sandy a quick question. So, Sandy, how would you say that communities across Minnesota are represented on the task force?
Well, Barb, it's an honor to have you part of the task force, too. It really is. So communities, we know that all communities of the state are affected by state policies, and tribal communities are affected by state policies, too. And we really need to have all the representatives have a seat at the table when decisions are made. And we also know that families and communities need access to affordable, quality early care and education options offered in culturally competent ways. And we're really, you know, we're very aware that tribal governments also play a part of the early care and education system in Minnesota. Tribal governments can license child care providers. 8 of the tribal governments in Minnesota offer Head Start programs. And tribal governments may also be responsible for determining eligibility for the Child Care Assistance Program in Minnesota. So representation is important for communities to have a say in recommendations. And we know our work could affect communities across the state, including tribal communities. And I know when they set up the membership of the task force that they were very aware and sensitive to making sure that all parts of the state and different groups would be represented on this task force.
Wow, that's awesome, Barb. Really awesome. We got about a minute left here, and maybe you can just touch real quick, Barb, on how important it is, and we'll come back after this commercial break, but how important it is to have our Indigenous people and BIPOC people involved in this.
It's critical because, you know, we all have children. We all...
Pride. Left corner, 3 on the way. got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts, and a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you, and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Hi, I'm Sean Cleary. I'd like to take a quick 30 seconds and talk to you about the most important part of a Cleary building, the foundation. Without it, you won't be able to stand the test of time. At Cleary, our foundation is made up of some truly amazing people. Our Cleary family rises to the challenge every day, and it shows when that shamrock is applied. So if you are looking for a new challenge in our all-new corporate office or out on the construction site, join the Cleary family today by clicking on careers at clearybuilding.com.
Ho, 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 ho! Auto Value has once again teamed up with Toys for Tots to help deliver hope to less fortunate children this Christmas. Now through December 15th, you can drop off a new unwrapped toy or cash donation at any participating Auto Value parts store. Your toy or cash donation will not only help Santa, but also allow one more child to experience the magic of Christmas. On behalf of everyone at Auto Value and the North Pole, we thank you.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swollen. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later, and I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. In a surprise visit, Focus Food Pantry received $5,000 worth of food from U.S. Cellular today as part of the company's goal to support more than 135 organizations across the country. U.S. Cellular retail stores nationwide are accepting donations for local food-focused nonprofits. At 10 a.m. this morning, U.S. Cellular arrived at the new location for the Focus organization at 2321 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids and unloaded and stocked shelves with $5,000 worth of non-perishable food items. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is reminding Wisconsinites that they can order free, at-home, rapid COVID-19 tests delivered directly to their residents through the state-supported Say Yes COVID test program. All households are eligible to place an order every month for one free test kit that contains five rapid antigen COVID-19 tests, starting on the first of every month. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 14. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, northeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 34. Tomorrow, overcast skies. Overcast skies again. Tomorrow night, chance of snow. Lows dip down to about 24. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 26.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Remembrance Day, Governor Tony Evers ordering the flags of the U.S. and the state of Wisconsin to be flown at half-staff. 54 service members from Wisconsin were among the 2,403 lives lost during the Pearl Harbor attack. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Pizza and Wine Bar. Cafe Latte believes ingredients matter, so that's why they never use artificial flavors, colors, or preservatives. Dine in at the restaurant off Victoria and Grand in St. Paul or place a takeout order at cafelatte.com.
This is Winona the Duke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, y'all. This episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. And, you know, we're doing a show on the great start for the All Minnesota Children Task Force. And I have Barb Fabre here with some really cool people here. And we're just having a little conversation about, you know, what's happening with this task force and how important it is. Barb, I want to hand it back over to you here real quick, and we'll do some more round-robin questions.
Sure. So, and I'd encourage the listeners to go to the Great Start for Minnesota Children Task Force website, and to get to learn more, and especially maybe in states where they don't have something like this, and you want to bring it to your state and create something like this, because it's really important to bring advocate together, and there's parents on there, there's stakeholders on there, so it isn't just a lot of state people per se, but it's community members. And so this was created for community members and are for communities, and so community members are encouraged to check it out and check out the website, attend the meetings, the monthly meetings. Just listen, and you can, raise your hand, you can ask a question, you can offer some suggestions. So we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, that's a great point. We got people all over the country listening to the show, and get in touch with you guys, and especially get your own task force going, because as you said, it's very important. Task force is where it all starts. Mm-hmm.
Yes, because it's made up community members and policymakers, and even legislators are on a lot of the state committees. So your voice is important and heard on these. And you can bring, situations that affect your family and your community. So, Jenny, what would you say that how tribes could learn more about the task force, other than what I just said?
Sure. Well, there's a few ways, and you mentioned some of them already, Barb. We have a task force website, which holds all of our meeting minutes, all of our materials. So you can look at those recommendations that we brought forward. And so you can, one easy way to find that is just Googling the Great Start for All Minnesota Children Task Force. Or we also have a Minnesota Children's Cabinet website that you can link to the task force. You did mention we have just a couple meetings left in the calendar. So we have one on next Tuesday, December 13th at 6 p.m. or our final meeting of the task force will be Tuesday, January 31st at 6 p.m. They're live streamed, as you mentioned, and all of those links are on the website. You can also, we have an incredible task force coordinator, Hannah Quinn. She, you can reach out to her. It's the greatstart.taskforce.mmb@state.mn.us. She'd be happy to help set up a conversation, take your comments. And then also, one of the pieces that we're really proud of and looking forward to, and many of us on the screen right now are not new to the early childhood space. So we've been trying to do all these great things together for many, many years. And so we're really looking forward to that final report on February 1st of 2023 and ways that we can use that in our communities and in the legislature and in our work to make sure that we're making change for children and families in all communities.
Yeah.
This task force is really unique. I don't recall being on committees where it's live streamed and people could join the meeting and provide input and ask questions. I don't recall that ever happening in my 30 plus years that I've sat on committees. So, our governor and lieutenant governor, you know, they're community-minded people. And so, and they listen to this task force. So, you know, they get the information. And I'm just so proud of that. And, you know, that's rare too, when you have leaders like that engaged in this kind of work and supporting it and giving their staff, you know, pretty much free rein to make sure it happens. So I appreciate that. And so I want to ask Shakira, so what would you say, has there been a lot of community input at the meetings? Do you feel that's being well used, being it's so new?
Yeah, I mean, I know that we did a bunch of, and by we, I mean the my fellow co-chairs did a bunch of outreach community listening sessions. We did, I think, like three or four of them over the summer and a little bit in the spring, just to get kind of more of a community perspective. So we heard from a bunch of providers that weren't currently on the task force to kind of get another perspective. I think there was one parent who tuned in, but a bunch of people from different delivery systems tuned in, so we were able to get their perspective. And then for the parent aspect, I have a few friends that are really looking forward to our recommendations becoming public in our report in February, so that I'm able to share with them so they can share with their friends to kind of get their legislators behind it, because as long as there is community input and community voice behind it, they'll look at it a bit more intentively than if we just give them a report.
Wow. Absolutely. And, you know, this is, again, this is new. So, you know, and I hope that community members take advantage of that opportunity to provide their input and read the recommendations and respond to them and let us know what your thoughts are. And because it really matters, and that's what this task force is all about. So, and, you know, I want to also mention that like this task force, Little Moments Count, who is our sponsor, this has never really happened either before that I know. I'm aware that they support shows like this and that hit almost all Indian country, which I absolutely love. And so, you know, we're giving information thanks to Little Moments Count. And if you go on their website and check out their resource page, it is loaded with great information for parents, for caregivers, for, you know, just a lot of information. I was on there this week pulling some things from there for our work. But so I really encourage you to visit the two websites, get involved, and So Robert, how do you think, what's your thoughts when you first heard about the Minnesota's Children Task Force?
I just want to like bring up the fact that what you brought up was that it's so important, you know, the governor and lieutenant governor, and especially having Peggy as lieutenant governor, Peggy Flanagan here in Minnesota, because there are a lot of things that are happening for us natives and BIPOC communities that normally wouldn't happen because we've been underrepresented for so long. So I just want to amplify that again, Barb, because I think that's really one of the things that's really important in these past elections and against Georgia, you know, last night. These are things that that are good for us, and we are out there voting and getting people in that are like-minded, or at least people that will listen and maybe change their mind, Barb.
Yeah, I don't recall, again, that this type of task force, and where it's all, a lot of it is based on, you know, input from stakeholders to help drive the policy changes, you know, I mean, that's huge. Jenny, do you want to say anything more about that?
Sure. I think, you know, I just want to appreciate how new and different this work is. So it's a 37-person task force. So we got lots of folks giving input there, but also going out and speaking with stakeholders and understanding that. And, you know, as you've all mentioned, we, as part of our work, named very early on that we wanted to be especially thoughtful around historically disenfranchised communities and centering that as part of our recommendations so that we can make a big difference. And some of the ways that we think we can make a big difference is having a family benefit system that would allow families in Minnesota to pay no more than 7% of their income on childcare. So they're paying way more than that now. How do we make this more affordable? We want to make sure and return to that idea about compensating those who are leading and educating and caring for our youngest Minnesotans so that they have a living wage and access to benefits. We talked a lot about simply being able to take a day off when you're ill or need to be away and thinking about how that partners with that compensation piece. And then providing funding to programs that allow them to pay workers fairly, set rates for families, and provide that quality experience for children and families. So we're really trying to make a big difference for our littlest Minnesotans.
Wow. You know, you guys, I'm wondering if, because we're going to be running into a hard break, if we could, in another 2 minutes, if we could all come back in the last segment and just give maybe a quick 30 seconds to 2 minutes just to pitch about this again, because we're seeing here online in Facebook and YouTube that, you know, like Lori put, this is very inspiring. Perhaps it can help spread the word to other tribal nations in new areas. She's really interested, and thanks for the leads. These are the kind of things that Native Roots Radio really loves to support. So maybe we can do that when we come back in a minute here. So, Barb, you got the last minute here, and then we'll take a break.
Sure. This is a trend I'm seeing, that more and more states are creating opportunities like this, and it's so important that we if you're an employer, to allow your employee be on statewide committees. I know it's a time commitment, but your voice is so critical and so important. And so please, think about getting on your statewide committees. Your voice is heard. They want you there. And it's powerful and impactful.
Great way to take the break. So hopefully everyone can stay on just one more quick segment and speak their truth. And so we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. Minsure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through Minsure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to minsure.org today and get started and get covered. That's mnsure.org. mnsure.org.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Here.
I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio. And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Oh, that was lame, you guys. There's five of us. Are you ready? Protecting wolves for future generations.
Forgot to take my mute button off.
Happens all the time. Hey, this episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count, and I'm here with Barb and... Barb's with Indigenous Visioning, and we have these cool guests on here. Barb, I just would like maybe you could have our guests go around Robin here and just speak their truth, and then maybe end up just how we can get more information, Barb. You're muted again. That pesky little mute button.
That howling knocked me.
Yeah, there you go.
Knocked me off course here. I got all excited. Just if you are one to learn more, you know, go to the website. You can see the meeting minutes. You can look at the slides, look at the notes. So get caught up and attend the last two meetings. So, Jenny. Can I get you to maybe say a few recommendations or thoughts or whatever you want to say about the task force?
Absolutely. Barb's known me a long time. I thank my grandma for this young-looking face, but I've been working in early childhood for a very, very long time. And just want to express gratitude here to being able to enjoy this opportunity with all of you so that we can reach more Minnesotans. I think that is something that I also feel really passionate about in this work, is that we are connecting with those, and Shakira mentioned it as well, that have lived experience and really developing our recommendations to make sure that we can make a big difference for all Minnesotans. And I, you know, just want to also say this is a different way to do our work, and I've really enjoyed the opportunity to be able to dig in this very large task force and bring a lot of important voices to the table. And I feel really excited about the ways that we can move forward. So I'm just, you know, can't wait for that final report to come out and think about all the ways that we can have partnership to do good things for kids and families. So thank you for having us here.
Yeah, thank you. And Barb, why don't we go with the teacher here, have Sandy come in and speak her truth here at the end.
Okay. Well, you know, what I'm really excited about is that this task force has worked so hard and so thoughtfully. I'm collecting information from all over the state. And if we're able to implement the task force recommendations, communities across the state, including tribal communities, would see some major changes in access and affordability to early care and education. We all know that our children are our future. And if these recommendations do end up being implemented, it is going to make a big difference, not only for the children and their access to care and continuity of care with teachers who stay with them because they're getting a livable wage, but also to families who won't have the huge burden of childcare expenses in order for them to pursue their work and education. So I'm just really thrilled about the future of Minnesota because of this task force recommendations.
Wow, that's well said. And Shakira, any final thoughts here?
It's kind of hard to combine that, thanks, Andy. I guess I would just say just the importance of it across the state and across different communities. If we're able to do this, we can make it affordable for parents. We can make it so that they have a choice and that choice isn't taken away from them, and where they get to send their child, if they get to send their child, and if they're able to go to the workforce or not. Like, we're able to make it so that it's affordable. Only 7% of your gross income would go towards childcare. The rest of it would be paid by other funding streams. Like, that would be detrimental. I mean, I can't even imagine not even paying that much. And then on top of that, you have the thing with providers would be more consistently in their place. You wouldn't have a lot of changes. You wouldn't have children thinking that their provider leaving is their fault because the day before they had a bad day. Like, I've had that with my own son. He's like, oh, well, miss blah 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 left, well, it was because I was naughty that day. And it's like, no, it's not. They just don't get paid enough, and they should be paid a lot more. Everybody should be given a livable wage. When you think about all the things that these providers do for our children, it's just ridiculous that they don't already. So I'm really hoping that a recommendation are considered and that they're implemented so that things are affordable and so that they have a livable wage.
Wow, Barb, a lot of really good guests today. Maybe a quick rundown. We got about 3 minutes left here, and just a quick rundown maybe of the website and how people can reach out all over Turtle Island and see what you guys are doing with this task force that sounds so exciting.
Sure. Check out the website. It's on the Minnesota Children's Cabinet website. It's the Great Start Children's Task Force. You can read about the task force, see the membership. You can listen to the virtual listening sessions. You can see all 3 years of the meetings. You can see what the priorities are. And you can see the PowerPoints and the notes that went with them. So you can get a lot of information. And, you know, it's there to share. You know, share it with your neighbors. And again, it's to support our Minnesotan early childhood field and safe places for our kids and compensation that's livable. You know, we have a lot of child care providers who are licensed with bachelor's degrees, and you know, they could probably go to a McDonald's and make just as much. So, right. You know, and that's not fair, especially, you know, when a child is in child care full time, they're with that child care teacher provider more waking hours than their parents. So how critical is that person? So they should be well compensated. They don't receive the benefits that, you know, typical employees get. They don't get prep time. They're, you know, there from 5 days a week, year round, you know, starting at 6 o'clock in the morning and going probably till 6 o'clock at night. And so, you know, they need this support. So if you feel strongly after reading about this, you know, come to our next meetings and let us know what you're thinking and how you support, and talk to your legislators about this. It's really, really critical. It's good to see you, Ogama.
Yeah. She's got laryngitis, I think. No,
I just, I don't know what's going on with my throat. After my first segment, I just can't seem to get it like wet enough. but if I might, as a parent, my favorite part about this Little Moments Count campaign is their Think Small texts. So if you text LMC for Little Moments Count to 70138, and then they'll ask you what your preferred language is. You can pick English, Spanish, or Somalian, and they will send you 3 texts a week with really great ideas on how to connect with your child, and they're all age specific. They'll ask you the birth date of your child so they know the age. And they now just switched over to be able to offer that in Dakota. So you can text TS for Think Small and then DAK for Dakota. to that same number, 70138, and then select English, and they'll help send you a Dakota Ayapi Think Small parent powered text. And these are like really a godsend during the week. You know, you kind of get sucked into the everyday monotony. And when you get those little texts, it's just a reminder to tell you, hey, connect with your little one, make sure you're doing those things and giving you ideas so you don't have to think about it yourself. It's really an awesome program.
Wow. What a great way to end the show. Thank you so much, Ogama. I know that was painful. And I want to thank the guests and Barb for bringing their truth and what great work you all are doing with this task force. Again,
this is your land and you love it. Every day you look out your window to watch the wildlife, who also call your land home. The animals who bring life to your land. You know their daily and seasonal habits, what they eat, and when their young are born. As a caring landowner, you can't bear to think about what might happen to them and to this special place in the future. Your dream is for your land to remain this way forever. The Wildlife Land Trust can help you. Keep your land free from development forever and protect the animals you've come to know so well from hunting and trapping. As part of the Humane Society of the United States, the Wildlife Land Trust preserves wildlife habitat and safeguards the animals who rely on it. Without such protections, your dream, your land, and its wildlife could be lost forever. If you have land and wildlife that you want to see preserved and protected, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. That's 1-800-729-SAVE. Or go to wildlifelandtrust.org. Your dream.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM. Stop.